This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
KBOO Community Radio and the Clinton Street Theater presents a monthly film series on the second Thursday of each month. January 10th at 7 p.m., we present the 1988 film Talk Radio, in which a rude, contemptuous talk show host becomes overwhelmed by the hatred that surrounds his program just before it goes national.
Open your mouth and tell me what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk radio. It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore. Let's go to the first caller. Night Talk.
Before the film, we'll hear Carl Wolfson, who will talk about his experience as a talk show host in Portland. And the film will be introduced by a KBOO board member and Wednesday morning talk show host, Lisa Loving. That's January 10th at the Clinton Street Theater at 7 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm/kboofilms.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Cecile.
Everyone keeps trying to tell me what to be or do.
Michelle Mariana is a voice actress who's been heard in Sesame Street animated inserts, notably as the recurring characters Cecile and Gloria Globe. She will be a special guest at the KBOO Benefit film showing this evening, Thursday, January 10th, at the Clinton Street Theater at Southeast 25th and Clinton. Also speaking at tonight's event will be Carl Wolfson, who recently lost his job as a progressive talk radio host on KPOJ when the station's owner, Clear Channel, decided to pull the plug on progressive talk and turn the station to an all-sports format. The film tonight is Oliver Stone's 1988 classic, Talk Radio.
You're part of the problem, you see.
I don't care what you think. No one does.
He's going down in flames, Dan.
The program starts at 7, doors open at 6:15 at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland tonight. More info at kboo.fm/kboofilms.
This is Indian country.
the world is that noise? This is Tillicum Wawa. You'll be asking yourself the same question for the next hour. This is Shasli Chitutni.
And this is Eugene.
And this is Lewis.
And my name is also Rhonda Basler-Johnson.
Welcome. And what you heard originally, of course, was our theme song, which is Unity, Stomp Dance Unity by Robbie Robertson from the Underworld of Red Boy. And you heard also the Stomp Dance song being sung at, I believe it's called Cornwall, where on Saturday, January 5th, the Mohawk, thousands of Mohawks and their supporters blockaded the Canadian United States border crossing for 5 hours.
We have the power.
Yes, we do. And all that is done in support of the Indigenous throughout Canada, including the Mohawk, and Theresa Spence, Chief Theresa Spence, who is still on hunger strike. And it's very intense times right now.
Tomorrow is January 11th, 111, and this is such an honor to me and my tribal heritage because I remember my grandmother saying that when she lived in Gold Beach, Oregon as a child, there was a woman, there were Indian women with what they called the 111 on their chin. And there's been a resurgence of this kind of tattooing amongst Siletz, Takelma, Tullawa, Hoopa, Karuk, and other women to get that stamped or get that tattooed in a traditional manner on their chin, the 111. So tomorrow on this most significant number, 111, is the International Day of Action for Idle No More. And I know that we're going to be having none other than a flash mob in front of the Consulate of Canada down on Broadway Street in our own fair city of Portland.
805 Southwest Broadway, right?
You've got a great memory.
At 3 p.m. tomorrow, and we're going to try to make it, but
Our
work schedules may prevent us from doing so, but we're going to do our best. I guess I'll have to speed most of the day tomorrow.
Don't do that. So we're glad you've joined us tonight. We're glad that you've come in for your doctoring of medicine in the way of music, information, a little bit of humor. We'd love to add your voice to the conversation. Most of you know the number, but I'll throw it out there if you have anything you want to talk about. 503-231-8187. If you're listening, you're part of the conversation. We're going to touch on a few other news items tonight. And one other thing that's happening that's such great timing tomorrow on 111 is that John Trudell's coming to Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, he's going to be speaking at the University of Oregon. I'm not sure what room or anything, but I'm sure if you drive down there and get there by about 5:30 in the afternoon, you can walk around and ask people, hey, where's John Trudell speaking? And sooner or later, you'll find him. Or that, or, you know, just follow all the usual Indians that are going to it and the unusual ones as
apparently well. Apparently, the doors open at 6, but the main event will be around 8. So if you're coming from Portland and want to traverse possibly icy roads, you can take your time after the flash mob to do so.
Yeah. And be careful. Drive carefully when you're heading down there.
So in honor of John Trudell, and he's somebody I've learned from over the years a lot, just listening to what he has to say and studying his life and how it's gone, all of the things he's been involved in. And I know that there are people out there who believe he was implicit or somehow involved in the murder of Anna Mae Aquash. I have no idea. I don't believe that. And so I'm rolling with, you know, my liking of John Trudell and what he's had to say and the teachings he's done over the years.
I think most of that anime stuff was BS about him being involved in it, and also I think that a lot of the people that are being implicated, such as Leonard Peltier and everybody else, I don't think there's a lot of evidence for that being a fact, and I think it's mostly for infighting. And the FBI did snitch jacketing on her as well, which is something that's not talked about very much.
And
either.
We can fall prey to infighting from here throughout infinity. And I will say that I know that not all tribes got along with all other tribes. That's just part of how we evolved and how we developed and how we came to different areas and had different places that we claimed. And we probably have infighting now too, but for the greater good, we need to suppress it. We need to put it down. So we were going to go ahead and listen to some John Trudell, and Ian's got some queued up. Enjoy.
these Indian ears. Hear them supporting people's revolution in Central America and rest of Third World. While they tell us our situation is different, we must be patient. Their system of laws protects freedom's face, they believe. But these ears believe different. Indian eyes see them struggling along civil disobedience's cooperation rules. Violent nonviolence, handing human identities to Warmaker's national security squads as if Warmaker believes in same democracy they do. Pretending civil disobedience by cooperating could be aiding and abetting enslavement. In these eyes, someone's in for big surprise. This Indian heart beats. Times they said they understood as they tried imposing new missionary positions of their love-hate romanticisms on us. Heart beating in a rush, we barely escape what they said they understood. These Indian dreams surround words so carelessly used as they speak of truth and justice. Their illusions grow like tears on these dreams, as though dreams are fires they want put out. This Indian blood flows as they proclaim freedom from their point of view. Indian blood flows through prison bars, through business streets, through revisions history, through the hole in God's golden halo, blood flowing back into stolen land. This Indian voice carries thoughts they have no time to hear. Sounds of their industrial power speak languages more persuasive to the mood. Protect the environment, but protect the material most. This Indian voice speaks of mother, but who listens? This Indian soul lives in and out of their reach, in the wind, air, water, soil, sky, sun, moon, stars, plants, animals, birds, memories, laughter, tears. This Indian past, this Indian future waits.
Welcome back to Totem Wawa, Voices of the People.
And it's pretty sad when you find a piece of gum here in the air room, production room. But that's how we hold KBOO together sometimes, in between pledge drives, membership drives. Did you say we have a caller? And are you Sean? On the line?
Hello, Sean.
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, hi. Welcome to the program.
Chef Lee, I wanted to compliment you. I was fortunate to see a DVD, I think it came out a couple of years ago, called End Civ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a really awesome kind of summary of Derek Jensen's Endgame books.
It is great. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I thought it was a lot. Wazi Atawan, she's amazing. We're hoping to get her on this program sometime by phone. And everything that Derek Jensen has taught, it's just so right on. We've had him as a guest here a few times by air. And, yeah, he's been a great teacher. Speaking of great teachers along the way, what I was saying in there was something about ceremony and the connectedness that natives feel to the land base is expressed in ceremony. So if you're in the plains, you're going to do a sun dance and you're going to have a lot of things that have to do with buffalo and different things like that. Out here, it has more to do with the celebration of the salmon returning. And you're going to see different kinds of celebrations and ceremonies, but they all are organic and come from the appreciation of the spirits and the land and the human beings being together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess also one thing I noticed from the documentary, too, was the Mohawk and their willingness to defend their land, you know, regardless of what the law said.
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to take up arms and defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm down with, you know, I'm really in agreement with the deep green resistance about the whole how we want to limit the horizontal hostility and mm-hmm. really bring about the vertical hostility, you know, direct
upwards.
All of our aggression at the right people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not at each other. But I wanted to run this past all of you there tonight. KBOO on New Year's Day ran a great lecture by Michael Parenti, a longtime political scientist.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I was wondering if any of you would comment on the possible connections or possible alliances that could be forged between what might be termed the deep green resistance movements and the more traditional old line Marxist movements. It seems like there's a real commonality there in that both are in total agreement that capitalism is destroying the planet and enslaving and destroying the human race. So I just wanted to throw that out there and see if you might have any thoughts on some alliances that might be forged there. If they don't exist already, I mean, they probably do, but
I don't know.
To hear what you had to say about that.
Does anyone here at the table know? Because I'm in the dark about that.
Well, I don't know too much about the Marxist organizations or anything like that. I do know they're out there.
I guess where I'm coming from is, like, you know, I totally understand Derek Jensen and Deep Green Resistance as far as, like, bringing down civilization. You mm-hmm. know, I can totally respect that. But at the same time, from a Marxist perspective, we don't want to just collapse capitalism. We want to replace it with something like Professor Craven used to teach. You know, we want to create a society with positive feedback loops, not the destructive feedback loops of capitalism. And it seems like we have to have some sort of structure to put in place of this current structure and not just bring it down and have nothing to put in its place. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
yes,
like
does.
A fast decline or a slow decline, but one way or the other bring civilization down, industrial civilization.
Exactly.
There's a lot to learn from indigenous cultures, which isn't capitalist or Marxist or socialist.
Well, it's capitalist in a way, but it's not capitalist in the way of the greed being brought to one person, all the resources being brought to one person. We need to have, like, a society where we cooperate with each other, have ways in which we resolve our differences in a good way, as well as be able to defend ourselves against people who are willing to do horrible things to us, but we also have to have some sort of system where, and I think, like, drawing from traditional native government forms of government is
and
a good
economy.
Place to start, and economy. And
absolutely,
there's a great book by Robert Miller called
Reservation Capitalism.
Yeah, and that's a great book that describes
because
that type of thing.
It is
well.
Not our lot in life. It is not something that is a traditional value to live in poverty and not have
right.
the basic needs and to live in those darn stupid moldy homes that people on Rosebud and Pine Ridge are forced into. That's not a native value.
Well, in this whole notion of infinite growth on a finite planet, I mean, the absurdity of capitalism in promoting this idea that we're going to just grow the economy endlessly, that profit is going to drive all of our decision-making, it's so absurd. But I guess one last thing, too. You know, the Mohawk were absolutely willing to use firearms to defend themselves. And I know people like Ward Churchill, Derek Jensen, the late Hunter Thompson, they're kind of examples of people on the left who have no interest in gun control. I, for one, am totally against gun control, and I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts, too, on, like, a far-left defense of firearms ownership.
My tagline on Facebook is, I'm so far left, it's starting to feel right, and that's all I'm going to say about that one.
Right. But free enterprise is not capitalism. Capitalism is making money on somebody else, and indigenous cultures, as far as I know, typically did not do that.
Yeah.
And so I guess that was my point. I have had the opportunity to give a couple of lectures some years ago on capitalism and the problems of capitalism. And I had a guy come up and ask me afterwards, because he had a small business. And he says, am I a capitalist? And I said, ask him what his business was and how he did it. He said, well, not really, because you're not making money on money.
Yeah.
And but so, that's where we kind of get into trouble, though, because you find that, you know, the lobbyist groups for small business oftentimes want the exact same things that the big business lobbyists want. You know, how often do you hear small business people say, well, I want lower taxes and I want no regulation, which, surprise, you know, by coincidence, that's exactly what the big business people want, too. So it's like, you know, we have to be careful there, too, to not have kind of a petty bourgeois attitude. You know what I'm saying?
That's quite true.
Small business people.
I agree with that.
There's a lot to all of this, and it just shows how every, you just pull one string and it's connected to all the others. But really, thanks for bringing this to the table and for this discussion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
I really appreciate your show, and I always listen. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Interesting.
In my opinion on gun control is you have to take in the whole picture. I'm tired of people just narrowing it down to one narrow little scope, whether it be a school shooting or whether it be the Second Amendment or whatever. I think you need to look at the whole picture. You need to look at school shootings. You need to look at legal gun owners who never use their weapons in a bad way. You need to see people doing it recreationally. You need to see people who don't like guns and don't want to use guns. You need to understand safety, and you need to understand how many people actually have defended their lives with guns, especially women.
People have made comments that I'm delusional because I've made comments that weren't necessarily anti-gun control. And that's a very interesting argument to just call names. Okay.
Yeah, and well, I'm also concerned about, like, total disarming of people because look what they did to the Lakota at Wounded Knee.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's so many. It's a historical lesson. It is relevant.
And there's so many examples throughout history and throughout the world.
Why don't we just make murder illegal?
Somebody suggested that to me recently. If you give everybody a gun and made murder legal, that would take care of population control.
It was
a tongue-in-cheek.
Illegal,
but still.
It is a complex situation, and the sickness of our society is reflected in these mass shootings.
Well, I think our culture, our whole society, worships guns and violence.
And power.
And the power that brings, right. And so it isn't the gun as such. However, I'm not sure that assault weapons are appropriate, but just having guns, I guess I can't go that far with it. But
there's no, go ahead.
Yeah, but just I think the violence in our culture, that it's so much violence, and that's how we as a country that's how we dominate the world or with other countries, is through violence or the threat of violence.
That's how this country was founded.
Yeah, exactly. But now, of course, it's a lot of economic control. Now,
True.
That's a whole other subject. But
we have our friend Samantha from Eugene calling in to say hello. Hi, Samantha.
Oceo, yatehe, and hello, everyone.
Oh, showing off the Cherokee language. Yuck-hey. Good job, good job. Jala. Ayuki.
I wish I could be there, but the ice is just too much for me to get up there. I'm glad we have this new modern phone to use to communicate. I like what you guys were talking about, the guns. You know, it's a social problem, not a gun problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I am an IRA member, and
Irish Republican Army.
I take my grandkids shooting. We love to target practice, and it's in our Constitution, and they better not try to take our guns away.
Are you going to go see John Trudell tomorrow?
I am, and I talked to Nasu today at the university, and the doors will open at 6. He's probably going to have a pre-greeting for people, and then he's going to start speaking at 8, and it will probably be in the student union. That's where everybody does their speeches. Mm-hmm. And so I will be there, try to get an interview, try to get him up to Portland so we can have him on the show, and that'd be wonderful.
Well, don't do anything drastic, like kidnap him, but I guess
why not?
He hasn't been to Portland for a few years, but he's been going to Eugene regularly. So, yeah,
good.
It would be great if you could convince him to come up here.
Yeah, and Nick Sixkiller will probably be the MC. He MCs a lot of our powwows around the state.
He's pretty
and,
good at
talking
it.
Talking to him, his show will be on tonight. If anybody wants to listen via the internet from 7 to 9 on KRVM.
That's right.
Yeah, and I just had a couple of powwow announcements, if I could, while I'm on.
Take it away, Samantha.
Okay, the WACIPI 14th Traditional Powwow.
Wasipi.
Is on the 19th. Pardon?
Wasipi or Wachipi? I'm not sure how it's pronounced.
I think it's Wasipi.
Wasipi.
Okay, and it's from 10 to 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. And the phone to call is 971-722-4116. It will be at the Portland Community College, Sylvania campus. Grand entry will be at 1 and 7, dinner at 5:30. The vendors can call 971-722-4116. That's the same number. And there will also be a college fair adjacent to it from 12 to 4 p.m. And that sounds fun. That's
yeah.
up by your way.
Yeah.
And then in February, the 16th and 17th, will be the 5th annual Sehewamish Days at 12 noon. And the number to call there is 360-427-7711. And then the third one will be the Chemawa Birthday Powwow on February 23rd at 12 p.m. at the Chemawa Indian School. And you can call 503-399-5721. And I wanted to tell you that
the 23rd of February?
What?
The 23rd of February, is that what you
exactly.
said?
Exactly.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. The last two were in February. And Mike sends a warm hello to you all and to all the listeners. And
Hi, Mike.
I want
well
to
soon, Mike.
Keep up the good work. You know, the guy that called in about not arguing amongst ourselves, but keeping focused on the real issues and the real problems we have in this world is really important. Let the ego go and let the heart show, you know. And
hard sometimes.
But what am I going to do with my hatchet then?
Bury the hatchet. Thanks for calling in. I hope you stay well.
Oh, I will. And I'll see you next time. And have a great show. I know you will.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's listen to some music, Ian. Thank you.
I was listening to the voices of life, chanting in unison, "Carry on the struggle." The generation surged together in resistance to meet the reality of power. Mother Earth embraces her children and natural beauty to last beyond oppressor's brutality. As the butterfly floats into life, we are the spirit of natural life, which is forever. The power of understanding, real connections to spirit, is meaning our resistance, our struggle, is not sacrifice lost. It is natural energy, properly used. One time, I was visiting with my relatives. The clouds, the mountains, the sky, the trees. My relatives touched my spirit, nudged it lovingly. "Listen to us, impatient one. We are forever. You must remember the gentleness of time. You are struggling to be who you are. You say you want to learn the old ways. Struggling to learn when all you must do is remember. Remember the people. Remember sky and earth. Remember the people have always struggled to live in harmony, in peace. Struggle against selfishness and weakness so the people may live as nations. The old ways are hard. The people have always had to work together. Remember, impatient one. Remember and live. Do not be afraid of truth. Respect, discipline, share your life so the people may live. Honor sky and earth. Honor yourself. Honor your relations. Remember, impatient one, the gentleness of time." Grandmother Moon, you are more than light in the night. You are more than the moon. You are spirit connection. Your energy is our life. You are memories to generations past. You are the creator of sensations that will always last. You are the knowledge, the teacher, the influence to keep the people sane. You are a healer for spirit pain. Grandmother Moon, we love you. And we are angry at the invaders who trash you and violate our universe with their mechanical uncleanliness. We pray for you, for us, and for the invader who just can't comprehend respect, love, or the balance of life. We do not join the invading madness. From the way they act, it speaks of spirit sadness. Machine money progress is the cause of our common abuse. We see you, Grandmother. We feel you. We love you. We know through your reality we will endure. We are one. We pray for you. We pray to you. Grandfathers whispering in the wind, rejoice at the life you are a part of. Natural energy bound to natural laws. You will survive this temporary madness imposed upon you. Natural life is longer than oppressors' illusionary insanity. Spirits experience human deeds but need not end. This is just one place of changes. Spirit life is forever if you want. The universe is your home. You can survive here. Do not let them kill you. Keep your spirit strong. For distant stars and distant drums are the memories of spirit infancy. Children of Earth, let the spirit live so you can grow in your place in the universe.
You're listening to Tillicumwawa, Voices of the People. I'm Eugene.
Chesley.
Lewis.
And this is KBOO Portland Community Radio, 90.7 FM. And what you just listened to was some John Trudell, because he will be down at the University of
Oregon.
Oregon State University.
No, University of Oregon.
Right. University of Oregon. Yeah, I get
the
them mixed
Ducks,
up.
Remember?
Ducks, you know.
When you don't follow sports, it kind of goes over your head.
And it'll be at the Student Union.
You'd think I'd know better since I deliver there quite a bit.
Here's some breaking news. What were you going to say? Because I have breaking news.
Go ahead.
It's not really breaking news. Deep in Canadian lakes, signs of tar sands pollution. So we thought that we were going to be okay with the tar sands excavation, but apparently it's polluting water.
What do you know?
I'm being facetious or trying to. There's an article that I got today. This is actually from NPR. And it states that Canadian researchers have used the mud at the bottom of lakes like a time machine to show that tar sands oil production in Alberta, Canada, is polluting remote regional lakes as far as 50 miles from the operations. An increasingly large share of U.S. oil comes from Canada's tar sands, as we well know. And an increasingly, this is me now, large share of tribal lands are being destroyed, and people's health is being destroyed as well. Mm-hmm. But here the scientists have backed it up.
Finally. What took them so long? They've been doing this since 1968.
That long? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that either until last week. That's a long time. That's a lot of death and destruction those oil corporations are causing.
You know, don't assume that because somebody's sitting in a place of honor or power, like a tribal council person, don't assume that your best interests as a native are at heart with them, because they're the ones who have been complicit in selling the land and the rights to these corporations who destroy the land. So, I mean, the traditional government, the traditional people, they're the ones that get they're the ones who get tromped under by not only corporations and industrial civilization, but sometimes by the tribal councils that are in place.
Yes. Yes, because a lot of tribal councils are indeed corrupt. And they will sell people and things for money left and right. Do we have a caller?
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Hello, Ryan?
or Brian.
Hello?
Hey! Hi. Oh, it's our Border Scouts friend Brian. That we keep on threatening to go see, but we don't.
How's this meeting like this?
Yeah. Well, we got to meet somehow.
just a little thing. I just wanted to go back a bit. And when you started off the show, you mentioned that you actually can't believe that some people think that John Trudell had anything to do with Anna May Aquash's murder. just a little recall. There's a guy called Douglas Durham.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a worm for the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And he wormed his way into Dennis Banks's trust and practiced basically divide and conquer, which is what the U.S. military had been doing since day one.
Oh yeah.
And he sowed the seeds of distrust among AIM, and I think if you read enough about this stuff, you can see that. I mean, good Lord. John Trudell's own family were murdered in mm-hmm. a firebomb that was never even, and they weren't anywhere near Pine Ridge, that wasn't even investigated.
Why the hell would he
want to perpetrate this? He's one of the most consistent truth seekers and speakers I've ever met, and a friend of mine named Nash, who's a Navajo Paiute, used to be part of a security team. You imagine a guy, a poet, needing a security team. Only in America.
Yeah.
And I just want to also, so that's a load of you-know-what.
Yeah.
I've done radio training, I know what I can't say. So, I just wanted to put that little myth to rest and also, it's getting close to Inauguration Day, folks, so batter Obama about releasing Leonard Peltier.
Yes, indeed.
I put a letter that I wrote to him myself on your website or your Facebook page, so, and I didn't write it in Scottish either. So, just get after Obama, okay?
Indeed.
Okay, that's all I've got to say. I'll leave you
awesome.
In peace.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
And get you ass over here.
We will, sooner or later.
Ta-da.
Nice to always hear from him.
Yeah, it is. Shall we listen to more music?
Well, I wanted to mention that Chief Teresa Spence will not be meeting with the Prime Minister tomorrow. She's been invited to do so, and she's not doing it. I'm not clear on the reasons.
I read her statement, and I think it has something to do with the fact that the representative from the Queen has to be there for the treaty issues to be involved and to be discussed, and the representative refused,
yeah.
And that was one of the two people she wanted to talk to. She wanted to talk to Harper. As he's called up there by the indigenous folks, Crime Minister Harper. And
Shrub.
And also wanted to talk to the representative from the Queen to discuss treaty issues. But the representative from the Queen is not going to be there.
So it would be meaningless.
Pretty much.
Okay, throwing her a bone.
Yeah.
So to speak. Yeah. Let's listen to Michael Boucher's Do What We Must. It talks a lot about clean water and the issues that we're facing.
There's a fire burning in the western sky. It's been burning hard and hot, and they know the reason why. This drought's been drying up for over 7 years. The Hopi and the Navajo are banging a drum that no one hears. Oh, oh, hey, hey.
I look to the north, the ice is melting way too fast. Our president says they need more time to study that. I'm not anybody's fool, it's time to make a change. Alaskan natives are banging the drum, it's not too late. Some holy war that God has raged on us. So for our children's sake, let's do what we must. Do what we must. Do what we must. Oh, oh, yeah, everybody acts surprised, another category fight. The last of the Everglades, they'll drain for their own greed. The Seminoles are banging the drum, do you see what they have seen? Oh, and it's one more reason to stand up and we'll be right back.
the town, behind their covers and crooked cops, they can never make us sound. They can never make us, 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 they can never make us.
What have they done? They've torn up the earth. They've polluted our rivers and waters. They've stolen everything, not only from us indigenous peoples, but from everybody. So just a handful of little people could have more than they would ever need, ever. Enough to feed whole nations. We, as a people, have to take it all back. All of it.
And that was Blackfire, One Nation Under, from their CD, One Nation Under. Before that was Michael Boucher. Hey, I listen to it at home all the time. I'm immune. I say it at home all the time. Ever wonder how a couple of jokers like us got on the air? Well, sometimes I wonder that myself. Started out, I think, Eugene, 16 or 17 years ago.
Something like
has
that.
Has a long history with KBOO. I fell in love with him over the air and met him, and I guess it was meant to be because here we are.
Yeah.
We had, at one time, we had this mission statement: Tillicum Wawa connects tribal communities and those who support those communities via the KBOO airwaves with the intent, oh my gosh, to empower indigenous peoples to bridge cultures and broaden understanding in an environment of learning and collaboration. That's great. But to put it in a different way, we're here because we're a voice for the voiceless. We have this time. I'm not sure exactly why we're sitting here and you're not. If some other natives want to come in and do another show, that would be awesome. Just, you know, there are things that you have to go by, become a volunteer at KBOO, make a format, go by FCC standards, and address news and public affairs. You could do it too. This is not something that, I mean, I feel like I'm just a servant trying to address issues that would not otherwise be addressed by local natives. And that's why I'm here.
And you do great.
You do great. But
so does Lewis.
Occasionally. I don't think that it puts me into some special category or a star quality. That's not, I mean, my mom told me when I was a kid I had a face made for radio, and now I understand what she means. And
you have a beautiful face. Knock that off.
I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to show that we're here to be servants to the native community, to build understanding and speak a language that everyone can understand, and play music that touches the heart and soul. Lots of people out there have tribal affiliations, but like Ian, who is our engineer, doesn't know his history, but has that in his heart and in his soul. So here we are, and what do we do with it?
Yeah.
One thing I don't appreciate being the subject of lies, rumors, character assassination, and I'm not going to tolerate it.
Same here.
That's all I want to say about that.
Okay. And speaking of lies, you mind if I talk about a book that I'm reading right now?
A book, okay.
Yeah. It's called Red Earth, White Lies, Native Americans and the Myth of Scientific Fact by Vine Deloria Jr. It was published in 1995 by Scribner. Excellent book. Y'all have to read this because y'all need to understand that this Bering Land Sea Bridge theory is a lie. Ask yourself, Where is the evidence? There is none. Ask yourself why the Clovis Point in Texas was dated at 38,000 years, which is some 24,000 years prior to us allegedly being here. Ask yourself, where is the evidence? There is also a theory out there that states Indians killed off all the megafauna, all the big giant mastodons and giant buffalo and everything like that. Where is the evidence? If Indians had actually done this, if Indians had actually had the weapons that the white people used to slaughter off all the buffalo, where is the evidence?
I seem to recall historical accounts of salmon so thick that you could cross the river on their backs before white or European invasion. I seem to recall that it was the Europeans who took only the tongues and I can't remember the tails from heaps of dead buffalo out on the plains.
Yep.
Who's writing this?
I know. And so you have to read this book because as Vine DeLoria, great man that he was, explains to you clearly, shows you all the evidence that this stuff is lies. These theories are lies. These theories are things that were made up by people, white men with letters behind their names. And so it is accepted as fact, but there is no evidence. There is plenty of evidence that these men are liars. And a lot of people, a lot of alleged scientists nowadays, still base their information on these lies. You need to read this book. You need to come to an understanding that this is also this alleged science, anthropology, archaeology, etc., about Native peoples is part of the genocide against us. It's part of a way of saying, well, you Indians were immigrants, so therefore, since you're immigrants, we can take your land. And it's not true. You can't do that. It's an act of genocide. It's a crime. Y'all still have to be tried for it. Your government has to be tried for it. It has to stop.
Red Earth, White Lies.
Red Earth, White Lies by Vine DeLoria Jr. It came out in 1995. Excellent book. And you just have to read it. You have to read that science is just basically a religion.
Okay. January 28th is the fourth annual gathering of Oregon's First Nation Powwow in Salem at the Salem Pavilion, Oregon State Fair and Expo Center. And it goes from, I don't know, noon to 9.
And I'd like to say a word about Idle No More.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lewis went to a flash mob.
For you, those of you that were there on Sunday, you know what it's about. And it's worth going to. For those of you that were not able to make it or did not make it, you should make it a point to go to one of these.
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock,
yeah.
805 Southwest Broadway.
Yep.
Canadian Consulate. We would have been there, but we were celebrating my dad's 73rd birthday down in Grand Ronde. Just had a lovely afternoon, and he's got so much knowledge, and it's always good to hear him talk. I really liked what he had to say about we're here and we're supposed to walk softly on this earth and not leave a big mess and not make great big statues and monuments and call attention to ourselves.
Does that mean I have to stop making the statue I made about myself?
Yeah. So we went to a couple of the flash mobs already, the one at Pioneer Square Mall, but we missed it. I mean, those...
By about 2 minutes.
It was so sad. We were so crestfallen. We went to the one over at Lloyd Center. That was really great.
It was.
Very energetic.
So if you can make it tomorrow, folks, get down there, 805 Southwest Broadway. In front of the Canadian Consulate.
At
3 o'clock.
Yeah. It's been good having this time with you, and hope you'll tune in next week as well. We're going to go out with Burning Sky, it's actually an instrumental called Medicine Dance, because you came here to get some medicine, and here it is. So thanks for listening. This is Rhonda, also known as Shesley Chidutna.
This is Eugene Johnson, also known as...
And this is Lewis, also known as Lewis.
Take care.
See, well, talk to you all next week.
KBOO is proud to be a media sponsor of An Evening with Dr. Michelle Alexander, Wednesday, January 16th, 2013, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Emmanuel Temple, located at 1033 North Sumner Street. Dr. Alexander is the author of The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. There will be a community fair, a community panel, and Michelle will read from her book. For more info, go to kboo.fm.
Good evening, folks. Hello. Welcome to KBOO Portland. It is 7:01 p.m., January 11th, Thursday. A temperate-ish day. I hope you've been enjoying it. Coming up in this hour is Hard Knock Radio. Happy birthday to Aldo Leopold and Clarence Clemens. And coming up now, Hard Knock.
Yo, this is M1 from Dead Press.
Hey, what's up? This is Boots from the Coup.
Nah, I mean, telling you to stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
Keep it locked.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you, bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. News, views, and hip-hop.
I'm Eddie Zane.
And I'm Helen Zia.
And we're on Hard Knock Radio.
What's up, folks? This is your girl, Femi, representing the whole Bay Area. I'm here on Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Stay tuned.
On the move. Yeah. I want to thank Mr. Louis Farrakhan and a million more for the kind invitation to join y'all here. As we gather in person or electronically, we do so in a time of peril. We do so in the